Welcome to the Trade Securely Podcast.
Did you know that a cyber attack is one of the biggest threats to business today? And it's not just the big companies that are targeted. Half of all small and mid-sized businesses in the U.S. experienced a data breach in 2017, and 55% experienced a cyber attack. A typical firm actually experiences about 130 security breaches each year. These are shocking statistics. So what can this mean for a business? IP theft could wipe out the firm's entire livelihood. Extended business disruption could cause customers to permanently abandon a firm, and the fixed costs of dealing with a breach or attack could take a big bite out of an operating budget. So how do you protect your business from this unseen risk? Kent Paisley is Senior Vice President, Accounts Receivable Insurance at the Global Crisis Management Division of Allied World. And he joins me now to talk about how the insurance industry is addressing this growing risk. Kent, great to talk to you today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Janet. It's a pleasure to be here.
So this cybersecurity thing, we've all heard about it, and I think we all secretly live in fear of it happening to us. How long has cyber insurance actually been around?
Cyber insurance has been around off and on in various forms. I would say even until probably early 2000s and so on, evolving as technology evolves, as the internet and how we communicate more and more online and so on. So it's been a long and developing product. I would suggest we're not in its final iteration yet even. So.
Okay. So are you seeing the impact of this type of risk? Like, can you share a story or two to illustrate how this type of threat could impact a business?
Certainly. Allied World is a underwriter of cyber risk out of our New York office, and our team there writes a number of policies protecting companies against various things like ransomware, phishing type of issues that the companies can do to attack a company, potentially hold them ransom, potentially download secure files and so on. Obviously, the most notable one, Target, there's a number of other ones that have gone through. I think there's a number of large household names that have been picked up over the years that have had some sort of a cyber event. What we don't hear about as much is some of the smaller companies and middle-sized companies that suffer the same type of issues and how that can impact their financial situation. But again, prolific and an increasing risk as we go on.
Trade Securely is all about receivables insurance. So how does this actually fit in with receivables insurance? Is there coverage for cyber events that can lead to non-payment by customers?
So the specific cover is still accounts receivable insurance. It results in a non-payment issue as a result of insolvency, protracted default, or as we know, political risk if it's foreign. The issue that a lot of people are starting to become aware of is that a cyber event of one of your customers could result in a non-payment situation, could result in a cash flow hit, could result in them not being able to reconcile orders, etc., and have them default on their suppliers' invoices. So it becomes a receivables risk at this point that is not specifically covered by a cyber policy, and that a receivables insurance policy would step in to provide that protection. Key here is it's a different trigger that could result in insolvency or protracted default non-payment.
Okay, so you have a receivables insurance policy. If I purchased it, what can I get covered? Like what type of cyber risks are actually going to be covered? Or is it just a big blanket statement?
So I think the key being is that as a accounts receivable insurance policy will cover the default, as we typically do, insolvency, protracted default, political risk of an accounts receivable. The key from the cyber angle is that this is now an angle to which you could have a customer default resulting in insolvency or protracted default or type of a scenario and therefore non-payment. The cyber exposure, as more companies become more online, do more of their internal workings, more of their customer interfacing, and more of their supplier interfacing online, they become more and more exposed to these threats that could result in them having a cash flow impact. So an accounts receivable insurance policy steps up, provides that cover, and then in terms of the insolvency of a customer or non-payment of a customer, it doesn't cover the cyber risks. That's a separate cyber policy that can be purchased in the marketplace. But the cyber risks policy doesn't cover the non-payment. and the non-payment doesn't cover the cyber. So it becomes this is a key plug-in to your cyber risk management strategy by buying accounts receivable insurance.
Okay, so it's a bit of a two-tiered approach. You have one, but you may not have the other, so you get the two prongs and they work together.
Exactly. If you're looking at a cyber risk management, most companies go through and analyze to the best of their knowledge and maybe with consultants and so on, what they need to do to protect them from potential cyber risks. But one open avenue is the non-payment of a customer who is impacted by cyber, because as a company, you do not control what your customers do in terms of their cyber management and how they manage their cyber risks. And this helps you protect against a potential issue that they may have that results in them impacting your business by not being able to pay.
Right. Yeah, I think when people buy insurance, they buy insurance to protect their own business. And I don't think they're really thinking about what's going on down the line with their customers. So that's how you can actually protect yourself.
Right. And I think that's a key thing to understand is we do tend to look at insurance as first party. You know, when we buy our car insurance or our house insurance, we think about ourselves. But when you're in a business, there's so many other aspects of what goes on in the business day to day that impact that company that aren't directly what we call first party in the insured world, they're third party. So as a result, a supplier having a supply chain issue, a customer having a potential issue with their systems and so on, results shuts the business down. As results in a potential non-payment issue that then impacts your business. You've got so many more elements out there that can impact it. And this is one of those, I think, growing and increasing issues that people are becoming aware of.
Mm-hmm. So in our interconnected world, we have to start thinking quite a bit differently now, because a business risk can arrive suddenly from a very great distance away, from as far away as your customer's customer, because there can be that trickle-down effect. So as a business owner, what do you need to be thinking about? What are the questions that you should be asking yourselves when you're thinking about coverage, whether it is for receivables insurance or your cyber risk or whatever? What are the questions that you should be asking?
I think, first of all, let's go up the chain, looking at your suppliers. Who are they getting their product from? How are they sourcing their product? What countries are they sourcing their product from? What means are they using to deliver, source, and procure their products? There's a number of elements there that can impact, especially as we look at just-in-time manufacturing. And then as the company itself, you're looking at where you're sourcing and then looking at where you're selling. What are the, companies and countries are so interconnected around the world. Something happening in Asia can impact a company in Latin America, obviously in North America as well. You have to be aware of all these different factors. And again, because they're all interconnected more and more increasingly through automation, you've got other areas which can become vulnerable in that. And so you need to ask yourself, where do I have vulnerability in my supply chain? And where do I have vulnerability in my customer base? And start analyzing that. And it's not just knowing your customer down the street, it's who are they selling to? Who else are they sourcing from? And there's so many, it's a complex issue now, because it's no longer you're selling to the retail entity that's two blocks down the road. Your customer base is global, and the impacts that you have and the things that go on globally can significantly impact that. And because you're doing more and more of that online, you've now got another exposure potentially through breaches online that could result and frustrate your trade.
This sounds incredibly challenging, particularly for somebody who's like a smaller, medium-sized business, right? I mean, you've got so much going on just trying to run your business. How are you supposed to navigate your way down the supply chains of your customer and your customer's customers? I mean, it seems like it's an almost impossible thing to try and manage on your own.
Certainly. I think, all good companies have their trusted advisors, and your insurance broker, insurance underwriters become your trusted advisors in that aspect. And they are looking every day through the variety of business things that we look at the various risks that impact the company and providing product, which is, cyber wasn't around in the late 90s, but we recognized, the industry recognized an issue, and we developed a product to help people protect themselves from that issue. Accounts receivable has been around a long time, but we've modified that accounts receivable so it can help protect companies with, preference payments more commonly covered. And now we look at it from the perspective of cyber. I would suggest to you that at some point you will see a cyber policy with the addition of an accounts receivable insurance on it to help someone from that perspective managing insolvency due to a cyber event. There's currently nothing in the market right now, and it's covered by a specific trade credit policy. But I think your trusted advisor is going to be able to point you in the direction of those issues and help you, and also help you quantify where you might have those issues. Because that is, it's a big daunting world. And as you start to peel back the onion on where you're getting your product and your supply and raw materials, where your customers are dealing, et cetera, you start to realize that you're far more exposed than you used to be when you were just dealing in your, shall we say, local neighborhood. And so your trusted advisor is going to identify those items that you need to be thinking about. So your legal and your accounting, obviously covering off your legal contract, your accounting, your banker, obviously helping you with your financing, your insurance agents and brokers and so on are going to be able to provide you with the checklist and the advice in terms of how to identify the risks and what the potential solutions are for those risks.
So in your experience, Kent, I mean, when people buy insurance, I think that they just think about the insurance and the coverage. Do they actually factor into that cost of that insurance, what you've just been saying there, that you're actually paying for the expertise and the knowledge of these trusted advisors that can see things that you have no way of seeing?
Yeah, I think that's a very important point, Janet. The typical purchase of insurance is I need insurance because I got to get a mortgage on my building. The bank needs insurance. And so it's not I need insurance because I need to protect my asset. It's I need it so I can get something else done. And I think we need to, that thinking needs to change a bit. How do I buy insurance to help me conduct my business in a secure, effective manner and allow me to grow the business? And it has to go from a perspective of what are the issues that are impeding me from growth? What are the issues that are impeding me from, you know, better financing, et cetera? What things can happen out there to help me facilitate more effective growth, facilitate better financing? There's a number of insurance tools that can do that. And taking the approach of how do I use insurance to enhance my business versus I got to buy this because the bank told me, I think is a very important shift that companies need to make. There's a lot of valuable tools out there. Yes, you pay premium for insurance policy, but it facilitates lots of other things. One of the things is cyber insurance. It actually comes with a set of, a lot, I know our Allied World product comes with a set of consulting services that actually help you identify your risk issues. Also, too, if you end up in a risk issue, to help you work through those risk issues and so on. And most cyber products out there have some sort of consulting services, which are very valuable. Long before a claim's paid, you're getting advice and support. And I think to change that mindset to thinking about insurance as a viable tool to help do business is a way better way to look at it than I got to buy it because I got a mortgage and the bank wants it. And I think if people find it more effective and have a better purchase of insurance from that perspective.
Yeah. So what you're saying then from the cyber perspective, say if my business had a customer that had a cyber issue, if I had that type of insurance, I would be given expert cyber advice to help support me through that process as I deal with my customer's issue?
It depends on the product that you buy, but yes, there are consulting services out there that will help you navigate the issue as it arises. But even better, there's consulting services out there that will help you prepare a plan and to make sure and help you identify what you've done or how you're setting up your business to try and avoid ahead of the issue. And then there are services that will help you manage through the issue as well. And I think that's important. We look at, again, on the receivables side, we structure an insurance policy there. You've got certain carriers out there that will have the ability to help through a collection process and try and mitigate the amount of overall loss that you have. So there's a number of additional tools rather than I've got a claim, pay the claim, pay my premium, get a claim paid. There's a lot of other services that can be built in around various insurance products that can help prevent and help manage when you have those when you have an event that takes place.
Okay. There are cloud services, there are supply chains. These are key targets for cyber attacks. So what are the possible impacts if something bad went wrong that could have on a business?
Certainly, I think most companies, big and small, and it's very convenient for small companies to look at cloud services because they can build an infrastructure without having to spend the money that they would to build it internally. But as a result of that, you're parking your company's brain trust, you know, confidential information, et cetera, mm-hmm. on a remote server somewhere, and that has the potential to be, you know, hacked by a hacker. I mean, as much as we like to think that companies are ring-fenced, everything is well-protected, hackers are out there because they like the challenge of hacking. So, mm-hmm. You know, they're going to do their best to attempt to break in where they can. Because your information is remotely held and it's not in a safe in your back room, you know, it's potential to be impacted there. So you could lose customer data, et cetera. You could have other impacts. It could, you know, maybe it's banking, et cetera. I think, you know, most of these areas are pretty secure, but those are, because it's in a third-party cloud area, you have that additional exposure that you could be, that you could find yourself exposed to elements that you wouldn't if you were just running it all on your own internal system. And as a result, you've got further, you're now open to another avenue of attacks that you maybe wouldn't have when you were doing business in the past, not in the cloud.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's the same deal with supply chains, right?
Right. I mean, supply chain now, as especially as we go into more just-in-time manufacturing, and you move up the supply chain, and you're requiring more and more third parties to provide you the components, and maybe at one point you manufactured all the components and assembled them, and now maybe you're more of just an assembler of your product. You've moved up the component manufacturing to other companies and providers. As a result, you've now got more potential issues because you've got a number of companies providing different components, and if any one of them has an issue in preparing their product for your ultimate product, then you have a breakdown in your supply chain. And so mm-hmm. the more you move things away from your own control, the more you open yourself up to potential exposures and need to, you know, look at avenues of protecting yourself against those so that you can continue to operate your business the way that you intend to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so beyond a breach, which most people go, it's never going to happen to me, right? You know, fine. But I mean, what is the risk of not having this insurance for, say, like management and board members?
So, you know, I think the interesting thing is, you know, when you have a large, there was a recent large bankruptcy in the States, and there was a company that was known to have bought credit insurance in the past, and they didn't. And at the time of this large loss, and it was actually written up when they took a stock drop as a result. So if I'm a board member and I know I can mitigate myself against potential risk issues, I need to be exploring those and making sure that I've put in place the necessary tools and items that will help me mitigate. If it's a public company, stock drop. If it's a private company, help me continue to operate because that's going to impact cash flow and so on. And as a board member, it's incumbent upon a board member to ensure that they have explored all avenues to protect themselves against the various types of risks that they may have. And I think, you know, accounts receivable more often than not gets overlooked because, well, we always know our customers. We know our customers well. We meet with them every week. But what we don't know about our customers, and certainly at the board level you don't know, is who your customers are dealing with and who they're impacted by. What's their supply chain? You may be one component in their supply chain, and there's other aspects of their supply chain. They may be selling your product domestically in Canada or the US, but they may be selling other products internationally. So you don't know what exposure they have, and you need to manage that and mitigate that. And as a board member, as the people that are, you know, steering the ship, you need to make sure that you've looked at all potential issues out there to avoid them and manage them as best as possible.
Right. So I guess ultimately, if there are companies out there that have receivables insurance, they need to check with their provider and find out if they actually do have some cyber coverage. And if there are people out there that don't have receivables insurance, they need to be looking at the whole nine yards, because this is something, the cyber world is going to grow and the attacks are going to grow as well. So you need to get your assets covered.
Yeah, Jen, I think that's a key point. I mean, I think, you know, quite often we look at cyber and we look at how it impacts the business and so on, but we don't, in our business itself, we don't look at how it might impact our customers' business and what the potential impact of that is. And a non-payment issue works all the way back up the line. And if I have a non-payment issue in my company as a result of one of my customers, that could impact my ability to pay up to my suppliers and so on. So cyber is prolific. There's great products out there to cover cyber risk specifically. And then you have this additional issue where if your customers are not covered or have a cyber event, then how do I protect myself against that? And I think that's where accounts receivable is something that could provide a necessary protection on that end.
Okay. Very eye-opening conversation, Kent. Thank you very much.
Janet, thank you very much for the time today.
Oh, my pleasure. Kent Paisley is Senior Vice President, Accounts Receivable Insurance in the Global Crisis Management Division at Allied World. And we've been talking about receivables insurance and cyber risk. For more information on how to protect your receivables from non-payment and to understand how receivables insurance can help you grow your business, please visit receivablesinsurancecanada.com, tradesecurely.ca, or get in touch with a member of the Receivables Insurance Association of Canada. Thanks for listening to the Trade Securely podcast. I'm Janet Eastman.